Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Good to be back with you here today. And I want to thank Pastor Lutz for filling in for me last week. My wife and I were down in Kentucky. And I understand that Pastor Lutz had some things to say about our visit to Kentucky there on his program. And I saw him as he was leaving here. And I thanked him for filling in. And by the way, I had a chance to hear last week's program. And I want to thank Pastor Lutz and Brother Maletti and his wife as well for being here last week and doing the program for me. I appreciate their faithfulness. I appreciate the things that they had to say about me. And I thought, you know, I have to pay for that in some way. And sure enough, there was Pastor Lutz today making me pay, accusing me of going down to see Hillary Clinton in Kentucky this past week. But anyway, I appreciate that. We actually had the opportunity to go down to tour the Ark Encounter. If you've heard about this, the same people, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham's group that built the Creation Museum there in Northern Kentucky, they built a full scale replica of the Ark down in Williamstown, Kentucky, and I'm going to be talking more about that on our Sunday night program. So I won't be spending much time on it today, but I will tie into that a little bit with some of the things I wanted to mention on today's program, because, you know, this has just been a really exciting past couple of weeks for a Christian. And I wanted to mention one of the things that tying in with what Pastor Lutz said in the last half hour. And by the way, if you're looking for a church on the east side, let me recommend North Coast Baptist Church out there in Lakewood. And, of course, Pastor Lutz, a good friend, he's on here at 1 o'clock. Then we're here at 1:30. And I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off Interstate 77, the Ohio Turnpike there. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we have our services there every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday morning 10, 11, and Sunday evening at 6. And then on Friday nights, we'll be there tonight. We're there every Friday night from about 7 to 9, sometimes a little later with an open-ended Bible study. And then, of course, if you stay tuned, you've got Pastor Andy Rusnacko from the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, who will be following us with a great message. He always has a good message there at 2 o'clock, so hope you'll be able to stay tuned for that. But let me encourage you to visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about our church. There's a link to our church there. There's a link to our sponsor, East Coast Pizza, out there in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. If you call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's 216-341-9100, and tell Gus that you heard about it here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, I wanted to mention a couple things about the things that have been happening in the news. It's been kind of a busy week on the political scene, a busy week with the nation's courts, and we have had a good week in many respects as Christians with some of the things that have been happening. I think the first thing I wanted to mention is that we had in the Senate, the Ohio Senate Bill 145, and this was a Senate bill that was designed to ban the practice of dismemberment abortions on the unborn children in the state of Ohio. And 8 states have already enacted similar legislation. I believe Arkansas and Texas are the most recent ones this spring. And we had this bill sponsored. My own state senator, LaRose, was one of the co-sponsors of it, and I had sent him an email, contacted his office about sponsoring or helping pass, Senate Bill 145. It was voted on Wednesday in the Senate, and it passed. This is a praise here. This passed 24-9. This is how the vote broke down when you look at it. The 24 yeas, 24 people voted to protect the unborn children from this gruesome practice. You can go online and read more about this. I won't read through the entire bill, but if you go to ohiosenate.gov, that's ohiosenate.gov, you can search for it. Or if you can't remember that, just go to ohio.gov and click for the links to the Ohio legislature. And you can just put in there, search for Senate Bill. Senate Bill, I forget the number here. Just Senate Bill 145, just talking about it. The vote, all the yeas were Republicans. This is a sad commentary. You know, we talk about the different political parties and what they stand for. And if you recall, last year here in Northeastern Ohio, we had the Republican National Convention. And in the convention, just prior to the convention, they rewrote, of course, the GOP's party platform, and they stood for the unborn children in the platform. Then, of course, the following month, we had the Democrat National Convention, and of course, their platform was the opposite. They refused to take a stand to protect the unborn. In fact, they championed those who murder the unborn children. And, well, this is reflected right in our very own state house, because in the Ohio State Senate, every one of the 24 senators that voted for the passage of this bill, Senate Bill 145, to protect Ohio's unborn children and ban this gruesome dismemberment murder of children, they were all Republicans. Not one Democrat senator in the state of Ohio voted to protect Ohio's unborn children. Let me repeat that. Not one state Democrat senator voted to protect Ohio's unborn children. In fact, the votes against it, there were 9 votes against it, and every single senator that voted against the protection of unborn children was a Democrat. Every single one of them. Thankfully, not one Republican senator voted against protecting unborn children. Every single vote against protecting unborn children was a Democrat. Now, take what you want from that, but I think that reflects what we saw last year, that we have one party that stands for life and another party that stands for death. And it's reflected on the national level. That's why local politician Dennis Kucinich, once a mayor of Cleveland, once a congressman from Northeast Ohio, when he began running for president, remember he ran several times for president, he had a, if I remember correctly, a pro-life position until he began to run for president, and he switched to the pro-death position. And you know, because that's what you have to do basically as a Democrat, I guess. So, you know, you're free to believe what you want politically, be a member of whichever party you want and vote for whoever you want. But just remember this when it comes to electing public officials. When it came time to stand up and protect the unborn children in the state of Ohio with Senate Bill 145. And the short title of this bill is Criminalize and Create Civil Action for Dismemberment Abortion. And it basically, you know, it protects unborn children from this barbaric, gruesome practice. And not one Democrat was willing to vote to support the unborn children here in the state of Ohio. Sad commentary on that party. Well, you are listening to Live with Pastor Al, and I did not mention at the beginning, we do have our phone lines open, and I wanted to talk about this bill real quick there, but our phone lines are open. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Number of current events going on. The Bible tells us that we're going to live in perilous times in the last days. Paul wrote to Timothy about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we're living in those days. And we may have some victories, and I would echo what Pastor Lutz said in the previous half hour. Because we understand the Bible, we understand God's plan, we know that there's difficult times going to come in this country, difficult times going to come in this world. And we as believers, before being caught out of here in the catching away of the believers prior to the seven-year tribulation period, it doesn't mean we might not endure hardships or persecution. It's just as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 5, we're not appointed under wrath. We're not here for God's wrath. And as mentioning about visiting Noah's Ark exhibit, the Ark Encounter. And by the way, if you want to find out more about that, you can go to thearkencounter.com, I believe is the website, or you can just Google it. You can find it. We'll be talking more about that Sunday night. But when God instructed Noah to build the ark, it was because things were getting more and are going more and more downhill in the world. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, it says, starting in verse 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and he took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And it goes on to talk about the wickedness that's in the world. Verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And we look at the time that Noah lived in, and God said there'd only be 120 years left, and he gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, to provide a way of salvation, a way of escaping God's judgment. Well, today we talk about the catching away of the believers. We use the term the rapture of the church, the rapture of the believers, the catching away of the believers that is going to take place before God's judgment comes upon this world, just like God provided the ark to catch away believers out of the judgment that came on the world that destroyed the world with the flood. We understand that there's judgment coming on this world, and our way to escape it is through Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ, if we're alive, when that event takes place, the catching away the believers, we'll be caught up be with the Lord, and we will not have to go through the wrath of God. We might go through persecution, we might go through difficulties and all of that, but in the meanwhile, and this is what I was wanting to mention, there's a passage in Ephesians, and let me turn over here, in Ephesians chapter 2, there's a great passage in Ephesians chapter 2 talking about our salvation. And it says three things about it here. And let me just point these out real quick. Talking about our salvation, Ephesians chapter 2 starts with verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And he says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now, that word quicken, which we've used twice here now, quicken means to be made alive, to enliven, to make alive, to animate. And so he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That's God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in verse 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, there's a tremendous truth about salvation that's here in Ephesians chapter 2. God saved us out of our sinful condition when we realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he is God the Son who was born into this world to live a perfect life without sin, and then to go to the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when the Holy Spirit of God moves on our heart and convicts us of our sin and opens our eyes to the truth of the gospel message, the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the scriptures, and we understand what Christ did as he sacrificed himself and shed his blood to pay for our sins when he died on the cross, that he was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death, that we confess that we're sinners and that we deserve to pay for our sins. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, more than just physical death, but the death of the soul, the second death the Bible talks about in the lake of fire for all eternity. And when we realize that, we confess that's what we deserve because we're sinners. But we also believe that Christ died for us and paid for our sins with his own blood. And we throw ourselves upon God's mercy and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we trust Christ as our Savior. Do you know what God says he's going to do? In ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Through all eternity in heaven, God's going to be able to point to us, and we're going to be a testimony to the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. And then he says another tremendous truth, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, you cannot earn it, you cannot merit it, you cannot deserve it, you cannot somehow buy it any way, shape, or form. It's a gift of God, God's grace. When we believe, God sheds his grace upon us, and he saves us and forgives us of our sins, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're caught up in work salvation, if you think there's anything you can do to earn your salvation, if you think you can go to church enough, if you think you can donate enough money, if you think you can do enough good deeds, if you think you can do enough sacraments that somehow you're going to get into heaven, you're sadly mistaken, my friend, because he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved. We'll all be in heaven the same way by God's grace. When we trusted Christ, when we believed, then his grace comes upon us. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a second great, profound truth that I see here. And then one more here that I want to get to tie in with what we're talking about. In verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's what I want to say too. God is going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus throughout all eternity. And we are saved purely by the grace of God and not of works, lest any man should boast, or grace of God through faith. But what about works? Where do they come in? Well, when he saved us, we're now created in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's why we need to do what we can to make a difference, to be salt and light in the world around us when we consider what is happening in the world. We know that perilous times are going to come. We know that difficulties are going to happen. In the meanwhile, we're still supposed to do good works. We're supposed to continue. You know, we work as if we're going to be here forever, but we also work with the idea in mind, like Noah did, that our time is short, and one day God's going to catch us up to be with him in heaven. Let me give you one more thing, and I'll get to our call. I think we have a caller trying to call in, but let me give you one more thing to celebrate here while we're thinking about this. On June 26th, the Supreme Court of the United States made a tremendous statement. They ruled in favor of religious liberty in the Trinity Lutheran Church versus Pauli. This is a case in Missouri. They ruled 7-2 that excluding the Trinity Lutheran Church from public grant program violates the First Amendment's free exercise clause and the 14th Amendment's equal protection clause. Now, basically what happened, and let me try and hit this real quick, is that the court, I'm sorry, the church in Missouri here, this Trinity Lutheran Church, applied for a program that the state had. It was a good program. One part of the program was to find a way to recycle old tiles. They chip the tires up, and then they provide them to nonprofits to cover their playgrounds so that it protects children. So two good points with this program: a way to recycle these old tires, get them out of the landfills, and the other one is to do something to help protect children in the state. And they applied for this, and they were refused on the grounds that it would be a violation of the First Amendment, a violation of the fictitious separation of church and state that the liberals always try to read into the First Amendment. And they appealed, and all the way through, they were found against their rejection from this program was held up. Now, some of the arguments that were made in support of the church was, well, wait a minute, just because the state sponsored the program doesn't mean the church can't have it, because after all, the government supports the fire department and the police. Are you trying to say that if there's a fire or a break-in at the church that the police and the fire department can't respond because that would mean an endorsement of religion? Well, the court, with the exception of Justice Ginsburg and Justice, I think it was either Kagan or Sotomayor, one of those two, voted against the religious liberty of Trinity Lutheran Church, but the rest of the court voted for it. And that's a clear upholding of our First Amendment rights. Churches cannot be discriminated against by the state. And so that's a tremendous thing. I encourage you to take a look at that. And there's a lot more, unfortunately, so much to talk about here, not enough time to do it. We've got Jeremiah who wanted to get on here real quick. I apologize. We only have just a few minutes. Jeremiah, welcome to the program. Hello, Jeremiah. All right, well, we'll move right along here, and sorry that we missed Jeremiah, but again, just want to mention, these are things that we get involved in here, and we need to be concerned about, because as I was saying, we need to be salt and light in the world. God created us unto good works. And let me encourage you to go to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go to our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. Just go to Facebook, and you can either search for us or you can just put in facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and that should get you there. And I've got some of these cases listed there, and some of these things that you can talk about. The Supreme Court is going to be looking. They finished their current session. They're on recess until later this year, I think in August, September, whenever they come back. But they're going to hear an important case, a Christian baker in Colorado who is going through the court system because he did not want to bake a cake for a same-sex marriage. And that's something we need to pray about. We've made some tremendous progress here in some of these cases. And it's, I think a lot of this is because God's people are praying. And one of the reasons that I voted for President Trump was because of the effect that he can have not only on the Supreme Court, but federal courts. And we're seeing some differences. Fourth, the Circuit Court of Appeals just upheld North Carolina in a tremendous religious freedom test. Check us out on Facebook. You can find more. Sorry we're out of time today. Tune in next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.